You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Saver, better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when it turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima. We love you, and we want you to stay safe, even in this confusing COVID era. And that's why our guest is joining us once again, and we are honored and blessed. Please introduce yourself to us.
Hi there. My name is Rebecca Chalou, and I am a COVID compliance officer and a COVID compliance expert for television and film. How are you today, Dawn?
I am well, and I thank you. I thank you. Madoma, hey, a big thanks, as we say in our language, for joining us today. It's really an honor to have you here. So let's define our terms. What exactly is it that you do?
What I do is, let's start with before COVID. So before COVID, I already worked in the television and film industry. I had started out as a child actor.
Oh.
And over the years, as I got older, I had realized that it's probably better off to be on the crew. So I had done things like been head of the craft service department, which is basically handing out snacks or making snacks, setting up a snack table. I had worked in other departments, too. I'd been an assistant prop master on a Sean Penn television show called The First. And so I had a few years of experience of being on the crew. And so once COVID hit, I was hanging out with one of the world's best gaffers, which are the lighting technicians. His name is Mason McGuire. We were just hanging out outside of work one day, and I was complaining about how I'd worked some film crew job, and I didn't think the COVID compliance officer was taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. And so Mason is the one who lit the torch and said, Rebecca, you should be a COVID compliance officer. You're already a nag about making people wear a mask and stuff. That should be your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. He actually told me about a website called Health Education Services where you could take an online course and being a COVID compliance officer. And so that was the first course that I took. And it was only about a month later when I got my very first COVID compliance job. And so this was back in about October of 2020. And so my very first COVID compliance job was on a commercial for a company called Bet America, which, to be honest, I had never heard of before that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a few celebrities in the commercial, including Brett Favre. And this was before the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were really, you know, nervous about COVID. And I think this was the beginning of probably insurance companies and unions demanding that they have some sort of COVID compliance on set. So that's how my position was created and how I ended up starting to get the credentials to do that job.
Your insight into
sure.
what we need to have. What do we need to buy, have? What should be our survival
sure.
kit?
I think that we're like already on this thread, like already kind of talking about that. So here's what I think everyone needs, okay? If you can afford it, and if you can't, there are ways around it too. Like there's even the way to make those blue surgical masks better masks by adding rubber bands and stuff. There's a free template that you can I still need to print that thing out, that thing you put over a cheaper mask to make it fit better, like a little
mm-hmm.
rubber thing that goes around your head.
Mm-hmm.
I would say have some sort of mask that you know you will wear and that you feel comfortable wearing. And you know what? I don't care if it's a surgical mask. If it's a surgical mask, just find a way to tighten it up. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or get one of those black ring things that you can tighten it up with. For me, I like KN95s, but like my best friend Dave, he likes N95s, mm-hmm. and he won't wear the KN95s. You know, everybody's got their special style that they like to wear. And if you haven't found yours yet, you just need to invest more time in wearing a mask. A lot of people, I know you did this. I know I did this too. A lot of mm-hmm. us learned how to wear a mask by just wearing them around the house, watching TV and stuff.
Right. Right.
If you still feel insecure about wearing a mask, you don't have to go outside. And like, I feel like wearing a mask outside is like real life testing. That's kind of stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm still in my testing and development stage of wearing a mask, I'd rather do that in private. So there's really nothing wrong with mowing the lawn in a mask, raking in a mask, or doing something like that in a mask, because it's going to keep all the pollen and allergens out of your lungs anyway. And then you'll get that mask-wearing experience if you're trying to try out a new mask. So I would say that's step one, to have some different masks, some different masks in your arsenal. And maybe, if you can, get one of these good ones. Get one at Flow Mask N100 or... you know, like these ones that I tried on the other day. Maybe have one nice reusable mask in case you run out
mm-hmm.
of the mm-hmm. reusables. And then I would say have at least 50 on hand, or at least I feel nervous whenever I have less than 20.
I know. Of, yeah.
Yeah. And I like to buy them from bonafidemasks.com. I like to get the Powicom KN95s. They make them in a black color. Mm-hmm. And that's primarily what we use in the film industry, the black colored KN95 from bonafidemask.com. Now, a lot of times I'll show up and I'll be cheap and have the white ones and they'll be mad. They'll wear them, but they'll be mad. And the Powicom ones are pretty nicely made. They're pretty thick. One of the problems I have with the competitors and with the cheap competitors is sometimes they'll split a little bit down by the neck.
Mm.
And then I'm worried air is getting in there, right? So it's better to have a mask that, you know, once you find a brand you like, keep getting it, you know? No, it's my daughter, with my child. I am so dumb that I wasn't aware until about 4 or 5 months ago that they made KN95s for children.
Right. I just found
that. Right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I had surgical masks and all the stuff. I had rigged them. I had tied little knots in them. I had tried to, you've probably done this, tried to modify a mask to fit a baby. Do you know what I mean? I had done all the stuff and got pretty good at very quickly tying knots in it, making some sailor knot weird thing that I put on my kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, if you go right to Amazon and you type this in, tie dye children's KN95, the nicest little box of masks comes up. They're all different
cute.
Colors of tie dye.
Yeah, it's cute.
And they're fitting my 5-year-old great. I gave some to my 11-year-old. So I didn't even get to the whole point of my oldest daughter does go to school because my ex-husband makes her school decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But she wears a mask every day, and she's still never had COVID.
Great.
And we did pull the vax card on her teacher and stuff. She's going to a different school than the one that my daughter went to, my youngest. So, you know, even if your kid goes to school, you could potentially never have COVID. But the way that then there's just extra steps involved. You know, we had to go pull the vax card and the teacher. We had to, I scoped out on the website COVID Act Now, and this was kind of shocking to me. We found out that in the school district where my oldest daughter is going to school, it's one of the most vaccinated counties in the United States.
Wow.
It was something like 92% vaccinated. And then if my daughter's telling the truth, then I have no reason to believe she's not. She claims all the teachers at the school wear a mask, mm-hmm. and that 75% of the students do. If so, that sounds like one of the safest schools I've heard of.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So that's what's up. You would just have to do major scoping about COVID compliance and maybe sneaking in one of those Corsi Rosenthal boxes. And then I would say, if you're hitting any resistance, well, that's your sign. That's not the school for your kid.
That's right.
A reminder to everyone that your tax dollars pour into schools. So if at any time you don't agree with the political ideology of your school, you can literally move into another neighborhood and stop financing that school. That's what I did with St. Tammany Parish when I sold my house. I literally moved to another county. And guess what? I'm not financing all the unvaxxed people at that old school anymore. So you got to remember that your tax dollars are power. I feel like my parents knew this, and maybe your parents knew this. But as long as we're not behaving like our tax dollars are a power that we have, that we can do things with, we're in trouble. So that's my scenario, you know, and I don't know if that's safe or not.
But it's so helpful to hear you say these things, and it's so helpful for us to have real insight and advice. But most of all, it's important for us to have these conversations. You know,
I agree in it. I feel comforted that you and I can just openly discuss this, you know, and I still feel like there's a few more supplies that I would have than a person should have. And so if you don't mind me steering it back to that for a second, I'm just going to say that as far as for my job, right, I would say people should have probably the bare minimum of what I use at my job. And so here's some of those things. I would say you need to have some rapid COVID tests laying around, and the Screen Actors Guild likes Spinax now, which are the Abbott Labs brand that they sell at Walmart, CVS, and Walgreens.
Okay.
If you want to be a really smart person and you have the money, you can afford it, I would always have maybe each box of Spinax now has two tests in it. So add up the people in your household and buy like one or two boxes per person. Okay. Now, those things expire after maybe 6 months or a year, so when you're buying them, look at the expiration date, make sure it's still far out. And I would say that film industry people always have those on hand, and then anytime we feel lousy at all, we would just test ourselves before we went outside.
Okay.
Or, conversely, let's say you're going to go meet up with one of your friends, and you're going to maybe have lunch and bring your children, right? But you haven't seen them in a while. And you have no idea. You know, that would be a good time to take a test and maybe even call them and say, hey, do you have one of those government, like, rapid tests that you could take? I've done this a million times. And they were like, oh, yeah, I do. I'll take one. In fact, I had a horrific thing happen one time where I was going to meet up with a friend, and we both took a government rapid test, and she passed. But me and my daughter failed. And we were just sobbing. And she U-turned the car. We prevented her from coming over. And it took us 4 days to figure out that we must have had a faulty box of tests and they were false negative, but I lost my job over it. But still glad we did it. Right? What if we'd really had COVID?
Right.
So it ended up being a really terrible fire drill.
Exactly.
But at the same time, that's what we do in the film industry. Like if I'm meeting up with just one person for 10 minutes and we're meeting up outside, we probably won't test. But if I'm meeting up with four people and they're going to do something really crazy, like try to get me to dine on the patio of a restaurant or something, then I'm probably going to ask if we can all test. If people aren't willing to test, might be a good sign to bounce. Not available. My friend Dave had a crazy thing happen that freaked me out. So Dave has a good spidey sense about not catching COVID too. So Dave was going to meet up with one of his old friends from the military. And when he told me the story, he forgot that I'd met his old friend from the military. So anyway, they were going to go have lunch. And Dave is already not a dine-in kind of guy during COVID, right? If he's going to dine in, it's going to have to be like a special occasion. So Dave called me and he said, what do I do? You know, my friend wants to go dine in and, I'm being a chicken about asking if they're vaccinated. And I said, just go for it, Dave. Just ask him. Just mention that you got vaxxed and see what he says, right? So get this. Dave writes the guy back, and he says, hey, I just got my booster or something. He, like, brings up the topic of vaccines or COVID or whatever, and the guy writes him back the next morning, the day they were going to meet up. And he says, hey, Dave, I just tested positive for COVID. I need to cancel.
Oh, boy.
So if Dave hadn't called me and then maybe brought up COVID, didn't Dave maybe create an environment where this guy's tested by asking that question? I feel like Dave dodged COVID right there.
Absolutely.
And so that's probably the most uncomfortable part of this whole pandemic. Who cares what strangers think? The toughest conversation and questions are with your own friends and peer group.
At least
they have been for me. The people who fight me the hardest aren't the people that I'm paid to COVID compliance. It's like hillbillies I know on Facebook.
You know what I mean?
Are you having this in your own life where sometimes your toughest COVID compliance discussions are with your own friends?
Oh, yes. But I'm also seeing other things. I have seen people get divorces.
I agree. It's changing society.
Yeah, friends of mine that were married and all, and then they found out their husband was like, oh, he won't get vaccinated, he won't wear masks. And
yeah.
They're separated. And, I mean, I've seen family members that are, angry because we didn't come to a wedding where there were hundreds of people or didn't come
to a
funeral.
I'm the person they'd be angry at, too.
And those were...
I'm a funeral skipper. Even before COVID, I would be afraid of crowds at funerals.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we've had to say, and people who won't let us, that we'd like to take your toddler to Disney World. I'm like, oh, no.
This sounds like a moment for both you and I to discuss that it's currently, is it October already? It's October of 2022, and you and I both just kind of, in a quiet way, said something that needs to be said out loud.
Yeah.
Okay? Since March of 2020, I haven't gone to any concerts. The only restaurants I've gone to are weird situations where I was forced to do it at work or where it was all planned out in advance and I was dreading it the whole time. I haven't gone in any big super spreader crowds unless, again, it was work-related. There's been a few times I've canceled the job.
No funerals, no weddings.
That's what I'm saying. No weddings, no funerals. So you and I just touched on a touchstone here, a literal touchstone, okay? And that is that you and I are a personality type where we didn't care who got mad at us. The health and safety of our own family was more important than all of that.
Absolutely.
My mom died back in 2007, and she was the Wisconsin state chairman of the Reform Party. Her name was Margot Hanson. And near the end of my mom's life, my whole family started disparaging her and calling her crazy because she kept going on and on about how in the year 2020, there was going to be an Armageddon and that there'd be a division of good and evil. And she was super hysterical and she was telling me this. And I can't help but think that she was very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this I do for her,
Mm-hmm.
And for people who died early in the pandemic and don't have a voice now.
Right.
I want to make you aware of a couple other things that I became aware of recently, and they're just food for thought. Maybe I'll appear on your podcast again in the future, and we can talk about this. But but here's a couple things that stressed me out lately and that I don't know how society is going to move forward from this. I read that 800,000 dental hygienists worldwide died of COVID.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So my question for you is, who is cleaning our teeth now? Number two.
Right.
Exactly. I was just going to say, what about teachers, home healthcare workers, and the other five jobs that were decimated by COVID? Mm-hmm. Who is doing that job now?
Right.
Right? People who aren't qualified, right?
Mm.
For sure.
Oh, my.
And that's just getting swept under the rug, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when all these teachers die of COVID, and now all these, like my old babysitter, right? She's going back to school to be a teacher, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then now she's going to be in that situation. Like, some of these people I don't think are prepared to be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are there 800,000 people in dental hygienist school right now? Or how
right.
is that?
Yeah, or just we
how
just
is that
have,
problem solved?
Right, exactly. Or we happen to have a spare certificate, in our back pocket. We can just go to work tomorrow.
Exactly. There are so many bad problems in our society. I think it was almost 1 million doctors died. There are so many bad problems in our society that it does actually make me want to connect my hand with people's heads when they're like, I don't want to wear a mask. It's like, look, we have so many other things going on that are a side adjunct of this problem that this
clergy,
is not actually a problem.
Priests, rabbis, religious leaders, we've lost many of them.
Yeah. I was so relieved to hear that your place of worship is remote. And I did notice on Rosh Hashanah that... that in Metairie, Louisiana, which is probably the closest synagogue to me, they also had a remote service.
Yeah, right.
So maybe there's something to be said for that, too. But I don't know if we'll ever understand, and I think that it might weigh poorly in history books, this whole let it rip and reopening of society. It's not based in reality or science, so I'm not even sure why the decision was made. I almost feel like it was a political decision made to hurt Joe Biden, and that then he went along with it. So,
oh my.
So now where do we go? Do you know what I mean?
Right. And I think that one thing that we can all do, because we remember, as Indigenous people, pandemics, we get it. We're very keenly aware of who's missing because of germs and guns and steel. And so I'm so thankful that we individually, me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my extended family, as for me and my group of friends, I mean, wherever you fall as you listen to this, even if it is just you, even if you're the only one who believes in vaccines and masks that you know, social media has...
Don't give up. Don't give up. Yeah, I had a friend who caught COVID because her family was all anti-vaccine and bullying her, and she waited. Mm-hmm. And I can see on Facebook that after the fact she went and got vaxxed and stuff, and it looks like she's getting away from her toxic family. But it is so scary.
Yeah.
I also want to make you aware of something I recently realized, too, that maybe everybody else on the planet except me knew about already, and maybe I'm a dummy. But I moved to Louisiana and then Mississippi to work in the film industry. And there's like an old wives' tale about where the Cajun people came from. Mm. And then after I researched it online, I found out that they're another oppressed group, like the Jewish people and the natives. And I wanted to make sure that you knew about that Trail of Tears-like walk that they were forced to do. They were forced to do a Trail of Tears-like walk from Nova Scotia, Canada to Louisiana. And 50% of them died. Mm-hmm. And it was such a traumatic thing that when they verbally told the story going down, it's been changed, and they're not even aware, really, of what's happened to them. But when you look it up on Wikipedia and on the internet, it was a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
They think they were prisoners who were released from a prison.
Mm.
That was the fake story that they were told when they left Nova Scotia to walk to Louisiana. They were called the Acadian people back then.
Acadian people, right. Oh.
But I think that the Acadian people might not have a lot of science or health knowledge. And so I try to go out of my way to help the Acadian people.
And I think that that's, you know, a great metaphor. That someday, when they reminisce over us, there will be people who won't even know why Mamaw or Papaw passed away. They won't know all the
Politics
of COVID or whatever. They won't know that a mask...
Yes, every time an older person dies, so much oral history is lost.
Yeah.
I know your people understand that.
Yes,
when my mom and dad died, I was so pissed at myself for not like having a notebook and taking notes every time we went through a photo album when I was a kid.
Yes, that's right. Who is this? At all?
Like, I can look through them now and I'm like, that was in Barbados, but I do not remember where mom and this lady had the boob contest. You know, they had a dumb story about every photo in the photo album. But like, now that they're gone, I can't remember every detail of every photo. So much oral history is lost.
Yes. As we close, I want to say this again to you. Thank you for your courage and your bravery. Thank you for sharing all of this with us, because all of our ancestors persevered. They survived so that we could be here today. And we need to be good ancestors, too. We need to be good parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and loved ones. And my granddaddy used to say, love has arms and legs. Well, I'm going to add to that, and sometimes it wears a mask. And it gets vaccinated.
I agree. I love that.
We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful you're here today.
I'm thankful for the opportunity to have been here on your podcast. And I honestly hope that we're not eyewitnessing the end of human civilization as we know it. I can't guarantee that we're not, though.
I don't know.
But I hope
we
that
are
we're not.
Not. But I know this. I know that true love will help us to protect ourselves and our families. And at least we'll go out fighting.
Yes, and even if we don't make it, if our last moments are with our family, then that is what matters most, right?
Absolutely. The only
that we were there for them.
That's the only thing that really matters. Before we go, will you please share your Cash App and PayPal links? I'm sure there are people who are going to want to help you do what you do.
I absolutely will. And a reminder that if anyone chooses to donate, that I'm simply going to re-up my mask stash, which I do share with my low-income neighbors and with everyone that I meet. I also badly want to buy an Aeronet 4 reader unless anyone wants to donate one to me. And again, my email address if you want to reach out to me or send me PayPal. is blackfrancie, blackfrancie @gmail.com. People ask me all the time, why is it Black Francie? Black Francie is the first black Barbie. I'm one of the world's top Barbie doll experts. You can also send me pictures of your Barbie dolls to get them identified.
Wow, that is great.
But that's where it comes from that little back pocket thing. And then my Cash App is $ Rebecca Shalou. My last name, which is a historically Jewish last name, is Chalevay, which in America we pronounce Shalou, and it's spelled C-H-U-L-E-W. Rebecca Shalou. So thank you for having me as a guest on your program. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with all of my friends. And I hope that you will stay in touch with me and let me know that you guys are doing good. And if you're ever in dire straits, I will do my best to help you.
We appreciate you sharing your knowledge so generously, your generosity of spirit in helping to lead others to stay safe from COVID and to keep others safe from COVID. Love one another. It's a great commandment in every faith. Love God, love people. And I feel that one of the greatest ways we can show our love for others is to do the precautions that will protect us and others from COVID. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
And you come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray hard, they pray hard. They never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rhett. I'm Tia. And I'm Heather. And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here. It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of confidence soaring.
Our mission is to educate, inspire, and honor.
This is the sound of honor roaring.
We should never, never forget those that gave their lives.
This is the sound of a generation rising above.
337 for Bravo Fox Papa.
We want to be involved in the education of young people so that they can take our aircraft and the stories that our pilots tell and realize their own dreams.
The Commemorative Air Force honors the heroes of yesterday while educating and inspiring the heroes of tomorrow.
Your future and how you live your life is dependent on how you think.
You can learn more at commemorativeairforce.org right now.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more families learn how to budget and save.
I want my neighbors to have access to health care.
Help create opportunities for everyone in your community. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Humpty Dumpty got stoned on a wall, lost his balance, and had a great fall. All of his doctors and all his sad friends couldn't put Humpty together again.
Do you know what your kids know about drugs? Need help? Get help. Visit our website at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Multitudes of people crying, asking for manna and pleading for quail, shouting, reaching, pushing, shoving, salt and oil, flour and lard, Eating is everything. Pass your basket. Have faith. He'll give us loaves and fishes.
We could all use some encouragement, and I would love to uplift you. So here is a chance to be thankful, be grateful, and be encouraged.
my darlings. Oh, I'm happy to see you, loved ones. I am. My love for you is infinite. I love saying that because you know what? That's the last thing my granddaddy ever said to me. There was a whole bunch of people. We were all fixing to get in the car and leave and go on. And he said, just over the top of everybody else, he looked right at me and he said, "My love for you is infinite." Oh. That just absolutely brings me so much joy even now. My love for you is infinite. I draw a lot of strength from that, and that's how I made up in my mind I'd start saying it to other folks I love, like y'all. I'd just say, "My love for you is infinite," just like he did to me, and I've lived on it all my life. So my love for you is infinite. And I got to thinking about my granddaddy a little bit ago. I've had a lot of speaking engagements back to back to back to back all weekend long, and must be November. Well, my granddaddy used to say, "Get 'em told." So I got 'em told, granddaddy. Run and tell that. That's what my other granddaddy used to say. Well, ran and told it. But I got to thinking about my granddaddy because there was something wonderful that he would say. And when he said it, you knew something great was about to happen. It was just fixing to happen. Things was about to get good in life. And it was this. You know, my mother's people came from a lot of money, and they have all kinds of crystal and china and sterling silver. And I have all that too. I was a debutante and I was in the cotillion and everything. And so I have that too. But they serve suppers with place settings and all the right forks and spoons and all that. And I do that from time to time. But my daddy's people, they didn't have money. And so there were so many of us, you know, a whole lot of people. And I have all these uncles and all these cousins. And, of course, they had all their military friends and football friends and boxing friends. And so every meal was always just, you didn't even know who was going to be at the table. It was just packed out, packed house, standing room only. And so they didn't have a lot of dishes. Mason jars, jelly jars, we used to drink out of those. And the dishes didn't always match, but they were always good eating around there because they grew their own food and everybody cooked and they hunted and they fished and brought in some delicious game and ooh, those meals. And my granddaddy was a master of barbecue. Y'all know that. And there were barbecue restaurants that my daddy owned when I was coming up. So there was always something in the open pit or the smoker. And sometimes they'd go out hunting and they'd have the game on the spit over the fire, and they'd have, well, anyway, you get the idea. So they would have these fabulous meals. I mean, there'd be vegetables from the garden and fish from the river and delicious meat and, oh my goodness, you know, and of course, everything was cooked deliciously, just fantastically. But there was one thing, you would get your plate, and you'd fix your plate, and there'd be everybody. My granddaddy would say, "Snatch and run, children. Get while the getting's good." Because with all those boys, you couldn't make, you know, you couldn't make any plans to come back for seconds. You better get it now, right? And so you'd have your plate. And I don't know if y'all like to eat like I like to eat, but I like to eat where everything is on the plate. And I can have a bite of barbecue and a bite of collard greens. And then I can have a little bit of baked beans if I want. And I can take a bite off the corn on the cob. And I mean, right? But my granddaddy was one of the best bakers you'd ever hope to meet. I mean, he'd be walking around the house with a giant, I mean, I don't know where he found this mixing bowl. But see, there were so many of us. So there was this mixing bowl that, you know, was bigger than your head. And he'd be walking around stirring, and he didn't believe in cake mix. There was not a box of cake mix in his house. He didn't believe in that. I don't either. And he would be flavoring it with whatever fruits were in season, and he'd call it a pudding. A pudding. I'm going to make a pudding. Yes, please do. Do that right now. And he'd make a pudding, right? And it'd be so nice and so lovely. And he'd be working on it. And sometimes it would have cream filling. Like he'd actually whip cream and make a cream filling. Or he'd make Indian pudding, which is corn pudding. And he'd have that in there. And it would have frosting that was homemade, like sticks of butter. Because, you know, a lot of times we made our own butter. And so he'd have, you know, this much butter and real sugar. And it would be buttercream frosting. I'm telling you what. And so, he wouldn't just make one, too. He'd make, you might have a pecan pie if pecans were in season, and if walnuts were in season, you might have a yellow cake with all these fresh eggs, right? And the hens they had laid these wonderful brown eggs, and they are delicious to this day. And they would put frosting on there and some walnuts on the top. And I'm not talking about walnuts from the bag from the store. I'm talking about walnuts that were actually walnuts before he'd get his hammer and his cheesecloth and get them all broken up to make a topping for the cake. Oh, delicious. And all this would have been going on. It might be a cherry pie, might be an apple pie, might be a peach pie. Oh, that's my favorite. And back then I could eat like that before I found out I had to eat gluten-free. I have celiac disease. And I did eat like that back then. he would make these delicious things. And don't let it be somebody's birthday, because that's when he would just turn into the maestro of cakes. And it would be, he'd have a cake and he'd go get things to put on the cake. They'd be tanks and army men and all kinds of stuff. And and if it was my birthday, then there'd be like four or five cakes and all that. And I'd even have my own cake back then, because all I eat is the frosting. And so he would do all this. And you would eat this fantastic dinner. I mean, this supper, this meal would be so good. Everybody just be sitting around talking, this is delicious. This is so good. If it was a fish fry, if it was a barbecue, don't let him get started on a roast. And so your sides would be fixing to bust. I mean, you would have had so much food, people could barely move. You'd have to put some sideboards on that plate. People are going to have to roll you out and help you get up and all that. And then he'd say something wonderful. Save your forks, children. The best is yet to come. Save your forks, children. The best is yet to come. And that's what's on my heart today. See, you got your fork, your knife, your spoon, and everything was served in these big old pots and pans and big serving spoons, and it wasn't fancy, not at all. So we didn't have a whole bunch of forks for you to choose from. There wasn't a dessert fork at that table. You better save your fork. And you would be so glad you did, because the best was truly yet to come. I think about one time my little nephew, he was so little. Little. And I said, you better save your fork. And he was like, why, Auntie? I said, well, I ain't never steered you wrong, and I'm not about to start now. You better trust me on this one. So he just, the whole meal, he just had his fork, and he just couldn't wait to look, and he couldn't wait, what was going to happen. And then came the dessert, and his eyes got about this big, and oh boy. Well, that's how everybody was back when my granddaddy was doing the cooking. They couldn't wait. When he said, save your fork, he was about to bring it all out, and he was about to fire on all cylinders. And that's when things got great. Great dessert. Now, why you gotta save your fork in life? Just so I can make your mouth water? I could have done that with the right set of pictures. But you know what? Save your fork means something to me tonight that I want to tell you about. Some of you are discouraged. You're disappointed. You had a great relationship and it fell apart. Or you thought you were going to get that job and it just didn't come through like you wanted it to. Or maybe you're struggling with student loan bills or doctor bills and you just don't know what you're going to do. Maybe somebody lied on you or talked about you or hurt you and put you in a truly difficult position. And you're just looking at your life right now going, I don't think I deserve this. Maybe right now, somebody out there that I love, 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 my love for you is infinite. Right before you give up, I want to say something to you. You save your forks, children. The best is yet to come. Save your forks, children. The best is yet to come. Even if you've had a lot of blessings in your life, you ain't seen nothing yet. Some great things are on their way to you beyond your wildest dreams. Even if you've been through a really hard time and you've thought, I don't think I can take any more of this. Save your fork, children. The best is yet to come. And what is your fork? What is your fork, my darling? What is your fork? Your fork is your joy. You know, I know it's kind of hard to have joy when you're going through some tough times and it's really difficult and it's really challenging and your heart's breaking into pieces and it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse every day. But you know what? You've got to hold on to that joy. Even if you have to encourage yourself sometimes. Sometimes you just have to sit around and think, whew, let's see, let me come up with something for me to be happy about. What is your fork? Your fork is your peace. You know, people can take a lot of things from you, but they can't take your peace from you. You've got to give that up. You have to let that go. Nobody can take your peace by force unless you let them. That's the truth. Because what is real peace? Peace is not, oh, just have peace. Greeting cards and things like that. Peace on earth and peace. No, peace is a force. Peace means there's nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. Peace will make you bold. Peace will make things be falling all around you and just basically going to hell in a handcart. And you're just sitting there like, well, you know what? In my soul, there's nothing missing, nothing broken. What's your fork? What's your fork? You know, your fork is, it's love. See what I did there? You knew I would get back to that. They don't call me the queen of love for nothing, right? Your fork is love. Love creator, love others. You can walk in love the last mile of the way. You can walk in love. I told you about my granddaddy. The last thing he ever said to me, my love for you is infinite. He could have said anything like, you know, drive safe or check the weather. But that's what he said, something that had fire in it. Why? Because love never fails. Love is my superpower. Love is creator's first language. Love is prayer. Thinking about my Uncle O, y'all remember me talking about him. Some of you met him and knew him. But he stood about 6'8". He was a Marine. And he had fought in every war they could come up with in the 20th and 21st century, pretty much. And the last thing he said to me when they were wheeling him away, the last time I saw him in the hospital before it was all over, he shouted over his oxygen and he said, "You the best thing." That's what he said. "You the best thing." Because he told everybody I was the best thing he ever done. You can walk in love even if you can barely walk. You can walk in love in your soul. You can pray for other people who are hurting. You can be kind. You know, I was going through something myself. I was so tired. I've had 6 speaking engagements in 1 weekend, and I was kind of going through something because, you know, I've been struggling with my health lately. And I thought, but yet I had somebody in my life who needed some help. They needed some encouraging. And I thought, well, good. I won't have to think about me and my problems for a while. I can encourage them. I can walk in love toward them. And while I take me off my mind, I can be on Creator's mind. Love is a fork. Save your forks, children. The best is yet to come. Now, here's the thing. In a big family like that, sometimes it was kind of hard to get a fork, especially when a lot of people came around just to eat. Like, we get these calls at the house, and y'all barbecuing. It would always sound all stealthy and everything. You know, people drive by slowly trying to see if we were barbecuing or anything like that, right? So sometimes, you know what? We would kind of run low on forks a little bit. And sometimes in life, you can go through so many things that you run a little low on your spiritual fruit. That's where somebody else comes in. Your secret weapon is the people you love and the people who love you. Because, see, somebody's got an extra fork. See, this is the secret of it. See, Granddaddy knew how many children he had and grandchildren and people and all this. He knew. So just because there was a certain amount of forks out on the table didn't mean that was all the forks. That just meant that was all the forks you could see. And if you came in late or you came in and you didn't have a fork or whatever, you could say, "Hey, and my granddaddy look at you, he'd say, "You need a fork?" And he'd say, "Yes, sir, I need a fork." And guess what he had? a treasure trove of forks. He had more forks. He had more knives. He had more spoons. He had more chopsticks. Because he was a World War II veteran. So he had all these really fancy, fancy chopsticks and stuff like that, too. And so, you could have some more forks. Somebody had a fork. Somebody'd get you a fork. You'd come in, somebody'd fix you a plate. Well, guess what? You got somebody else's fork, too. Even if you're going through a tough time right now and you're thinking to yourself, I cannot stand this, not one more day. If this does not settle up, Lord, there's something you have that somebody else needs. Somebody else needs you to save them a fork. Your joy, your love, your kindness, your patience, your peace, your grace, your mercy, you're walking in love with them. It's like you saying to them, I saved your fork. You're going to need it because the best is yet to come. And for all y'all who right now can't see that, I see it for you. You save your fork, children. The best is yet to come. For each of us, for all of us, this I know for sure.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode today. We're grateful to everyone who makes this show possible, our sponsors, our donors, our network, our friends, our guests, and our listeners. You're all precious to us, and I'm grateful for you. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima. We love you. Oh, and God does too. See you next time.
The world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.